Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Now, here's a question that will hopefully stir up quite a bit of discussion and debate. Do you think that we live in an inclusive society? The type of world where opportunities for all kinds of things are open to everyone, regardless of things such as sight loss. I often read that examples such as council services, tourist attractions, employment opportunities and transport providers, amongst others, pride themselves on being open to all. But quite often service practice can be quite different to service literature. Delivering services and developing so-called inclusive practices can often be exposed to individual presumptions and misconceptions. We have, for example, tried to access a number of tourist attractions fairly local to us, especially as they do advertise themselves as being all inclusive. Understandably, a good sense of reason needs to be applied when planning a trip, and it's good to ring up in advance to arrange help as far in advance as possible. However, we seem to keep coming up against the presumption that we have carers. This is quite a sad and inaccurate assumption, because it then gives the provider the opportunity to either deny a service or say it is too difficult to make reasonable adjustments. We had this problem with the National Railway Museum in York, where we'd planned to visit. Giving as much notice as possible, I telephoned and inquired about facilities and support. Although they said they promoted open access and inclusion, they were puzzled why we didn't have carers, and although they had volunteers, they were not prepared to look at giving us help to access the attraction, even though I had contacted them 3 months in advance. Now, yes, it is much easier to visit somewhere with the help of others, but this is not always a possibility for us. An attraction cannot advertise itself as being open for all, if at the very least it isn't prepared to discuss needs and to pursue a reasonable practice rather than just talk the talk. We don't expect to turn up somewhere and demand assistance, but we at least want the opportunity to discuss how others can help and truly make their provision, such as the National Railway Museum, truly open for all. There are many examples of services and facilities that do practice open access for all, and it can often be overshadowed by the less favourable experiences. Now, we've just been to St James's Hospital in Leeds for an appointment, and the help provided to access the right department by the hospital's staff and the volunteers was brilliant. No questions asked such as, "Where's your carer?" or, "You should really bring a responsible person with you next time." The comments we've had before, believe me. Now, they were more than happy to help us and make sure that the visit ran smoothly. Do you have any examples to share of good or bad service provision? Please get in touch by emailing blogs@vitalk.co.uk. By sharing these, it may help in some small way to increase those good experiences and to lessen the bad examples and to lessons that any service provider can learn from. Reflections on Nystagmus by Amanda Nelson. I have nystagmus, and a few weeks ago the Nystagmus Network released a case study report on the effects of nystagmus and quality of life. The case study took a sample of people of different ages and different kinds of nystagmus. I like how they were able to provide a table of demographic information of the people who they interviewed. I believe this will help educate the general public on the variety of nystagmus and how it's a lifelong condition. In the report, the authors discussed 3 main areas of impact, which also included some subcategories of emotional impact. The first topic of discussion was visual function, and the report stated that many people find it hard to watch TV, see street signs, and to recognise people. I agree with this because I do not watch TV. I struggle with seeing the details and the movement gives me motion sickness. Even though this is difficult, I can still enjoy YouTube and some Netflix shows. I have also tried the suggestion of watching TV with my telescope. However, I do not prefer this method. The method I'm looking into now is audio description. I struggle with seeing street signs. However, knowing the area helps, and having my telescope on hand to read the signs is helpful. Do not forget you can always stop and ask for assistance. Lastly, the next subtopic was recognising faces of friends and loved ones. I feel that when I'm having a bad nystagmus day, either due to stress or being tired, I have a hard time recognising faces. Even though this happens on occasion, I can recognise them most of the time. One tip I use when I'm in a busy area is to remember what the person is wearing. The next second subtopic that was covered was a restriction of movement. Under that were four subtopics that were covered. The first subtopic was driving. This topic hit me hard, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one who feels sad or angry, etc. I feel left behind by my peers when it comes to career achievements, shopping, etc. Even though I have this struggle, I know that there is things like Uber and Lyft to help me achieve these goals, and as long as I continue to work hard, I can have a great career. There are also things like Amazon to help with the shopping. Under driving was the use of public transportation. I was reassured that I'm not the only person who uses it and sometimes struggles with it. Since I've been job hunting, I have met a lot of people who use public transportation and are living full lives. Occupation was the next subtopic, and it also hit me hard. The fact that having nystagmus and for the most part a lack of a driver's license does impact your career choices. I found over the past few years of job hunting that there is a stigma of not having a driver's license, and most employers have concerns about visually impaired people getting to work on time. So not being able to drive affects the choices of having a career greatly. That being said, sometimes being self-employed can be a good thing. The next topic was leisure activities. I feel a strong connection on this topic because I'm going to have to start using the internet to do my shopping, and meeting with friends must be made in advance. Even though these allowances have to be made, I can still enjoy leisure activities, but just in a different way. The next subtopic was relying on others. This made me feel sad. I currently have to have my grandfather help me with several things, from taking me to the store to helping me with ordering something online. When you have nystagmus, you're going to have to rely on others sometimes. I'm thankful for the help I am getting. The second topic was standing out or not fitting in, and the next subtopic was visible aspects or cosmetics. I feel a connection to this because when I get nervous, especially during a job interview, employers have asked me if I'm lying about my disability or if I am using drugs. Many eye doctors have said that I am moving my eyes for attention. The next subtopic was eye contact. I am lucky that I am able to make eye contact. However, I understand this is an issue of major concern to those who brought it up. The next subtopic was comparisons to others. I do this a lot, either to my sighted peers or sometimes to someone who has achieved more despite having nystagmus themselves. I feel left behind on many achievements in my life. Even though I feel this way, there are things that I have achieved despite having nystagmus. For example, going to college or freelancing. The next subtopic was others' failures to recognise the condition and the effects of it. I agree when the article stated that the people who were interviewed were left out by many medical doctors, scientists, family members and friends. I've had many medical doctors and eye doctors say that they have never heard of the condition, and for those who have, I have had them say to me that I am moving my eyes for attention and that my visual impairment does not exist. Many of those doctors do not understand the impact that nystagmus has on my life. My family fails to understand that I cannot get more help than what I am getting, and that I am limited with my career choices. Even though there are people who do not understand nystagmus and how there can be limitations, I do have supportive friends and some strong family connections. The next subtopic was feelings about inner self-confidence and self-esteem. This is another topic that I agree with because I was not getting any help for my visual impairment until my late elementary years. My mother kept me from doing a lot of things for myself, and this has impacted who I am today. Even though I had problems with self-confidence and low self-esteem, there are things you can do to improve this, like taking a class or learning new skills. The next subtopic was sadness or distress. I feel sad that I have this condition, and I wish I could change it. It feels good that I am not the only one who feels this way. Even though I wish I did not have this condition, it has made me work harder for my achievements and for my goals. The next subtopic was negative future or abandoned and let down. I feel let down by employers and my caseworkers when I don't get what I need or when I'm told there's nothing else we can do to help you. Even though I feel this way, I know there will be an employer who will one day hire me. I am lucky to get the help with the caseworkers that I do have. I feel negative about my future when it comes to having children. I would feel guilty if the condition is passed on. The next subtopic was hopelessness. And the only time I feel this way is when I look at the negative aspects of having nystagmus. So instead, I think about the positive aspects of having the condition and focus on what you can do. The last topic was giving up or not attempting. I feel this way when I do not have a ride to get to an event. There are things that I want to do. However, there is not reliable paratransit transportation in my area. Even though the paratransit isn't that great, at least it is there to use. I feel happy that doctors and scientists want to look at these issues further. However, I feel the report was very negative. I hope this will educate the public on the impact of nystagmus in a more positive light.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.